90.3 867 1190
Near FM.
God Talk with Anthony Brabazon, talking about Jesus, died, buried, risen, and relevant.
I want to go deeper.
Oh, hi, Anthony here. Yeah, live Studio One near FM. And thanks to Mel for that great last program. And gosh, she's always... it's great to meet Mel every week. This is the joy of live radio. You meet the other presenters. And what can I say? Except she's got a bit of class. So, anyway, what have we got this week? We've got a... It's kind of a interesting program we have this week. But before I do that, I've got to dip into a few regular bits that we do. First of all, I'll talk about last week. We had... my darling wife was in with me last week and we did an amazing program. Actually, all I have to do is just kind of... point her in the right direction and let her loose. I think that's the way you go. And because she was speaking about, is there anyone worthy to break the scroll? And we were talking about Jesus Christ, you know, and who he is. He's the one who can set you free. He's the one who can be with you all of the time. And so if you go into the Near FM website, you can actually get our prior programs. So fairly soon we're going to have that program up online and you can listen back to it. And I'd highly recommend it. It'll be, for reference numbers, it'll be God Talk number 328. Imagine that. We've done quite a few episodes down the years, and I tell you, I got a really looking forward to next week because we're bringing back Paul Caffrey. He's going to come back as a guest and he's going to give us some stuff, and I can't wait. And I'm going to show him this beautiful new Studio One which got fixed up in his absence. So if you're listening out there, Paul, hi to you. And I know we're in for a rip roaring time next week, so I look forward to that. So anyway, what have we got? We've got way down in Kilkenny, my good friend Joseph. And Joseph has a word for us.
Luke 17, Jesus healed 10 lepers, but only one returned to give him thanks. We must never overlook the importance of going back to the Lord, or anyone else for that matter, to at least acknowledge their positive impact in our lives. In Isaiah 43 verse 24 we read, "Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." In Malachi 2 verse 17 it says, "You have wearied the Lord with your words." So even our Lord is not beyond feeling devalued. Just yesterday, my old mentor and his wife paid a visit to my place. It was their first time here since 2008. He once said that I seemed to remember his sermons better than he remembered them himself. I was very excited as I looked forward to their coming, and as usual when I get excited, I seem to do most of the talking. After they left, I really wondered if they had actually managed to get in a word edgeways. But it was important, I felt, to reconnect after all those years. I wanted, most of all, to show him that his tutelage wasn't wasted, that it hadn't gone in one ear and out the other. I'd learned many lessons, been blessed by many prayers, and once or twice, a faithful rebuke was dished up too. He didn't remember those as well as I did. One thing I did say, though, was that when I meet someone who knows more than I do, I just plague him to learn as much as I can and acknowledged that he didn't escape either. I don't do this in a leechy way. In a different context, I once wanted to build loudspeakers, and a sound engineering colleague of mine who knows everything about everything, he shared what he knew. I'm a naturally enthusiastic guy, and those who are wiser than I don't get left alone until I've learned. Proverbs says, "Wisdom is the principal thing, so get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Few of us are pleased when our advice is not taken on board. It grieves me when I see folks suffer just because they were stupid enough to continue in their errors when the right way was clearly before them. In Proverbs, we read that a foolish son is a grief to his father. So you get a picture of how God feels when his counsel is ignored. I recently gave thanks to a man who trained me as a recording engineer for his good advice. Keep going back to the Lord and to fellow men and show your appreciation. It never hurts. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Joseph. A great word, as always. And a big hi to you, I believe. You're listening in this week. So, Joseph, I have to say, you've been such a blessing with your words of wisdom. And, you know, it encourages me just to hear this all the time. So anyway, go back and give thanks. Well, there's two little stories I want to tell. One is that there's an architect friend of mine, Adrian Hill. Hi to you, Adrian. And he told me once, I was chatting with him over lunch, and he says he always says thanks to any client who pays him. Now, it sounds like a pretty normal thing to do, but we get busy at work and things go flying forwards and backwards and payments come through electronically and all the rest. But to make the point of saying thanks, dead on, I've begun to do it. I don't always do it, but I try and do it all the time. And it's a good thing to do. It can be very short, very simple, but people appreciate when you say it. They really do. And often in the giving of gifts, you know, sometimes just to receive a thanks means a whole lot, you know. It really does. So to be presumptuous is probably the other side of that coin, and it's a horrible thing. You know, people think, oh yeah, I was expecting that present at Christmas or something, you know, and they have a hard attitude towards it. That's not nice. It doesn't really help anybody. So another story about giving thanks is it needs to come from the heart. And I remember when I was a child, I was at one kid's party. I must have been pretty young, actually. And I got a lift back from one of the other parents. And I was just about, Mrs. Murphy gave me the lift back. And it was on the tip of my tongue just to say, thank you, Mrs. Murphy, for giving me the lift. And just before I did, my mother was there and she gave me a poke in the side. And she said out loud, she said, did you say thanks to Mrs. Murphy? Oh, well, you know what? All the goodness, all the spontaneity, all the sincere heartfelt gratitude evaporated at that moment. And all I could say was, thanks, Mrs. Murphy. You know, because it needs to be spontaneous, coming out of the heart. And so too, above all, our thankfulness is to our Maker, to our Creator and our Saviour, God Himself and Jesus Christ, His Son. So, you know, we have that, if we have that attitude of gratitude, it will go well with us, and it's very important. So, anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. And thanks again, Joseph, for your great word for us. Now, we're going to have the proverb of the day. And sorry, my theme tune has gone for a walk, ain't here. So we're just going to have it anyway. And today is it's the 12th of the month. So we have a proverb, chapter 12, verse 18. I got the wrong page open. That doesn't help. Okay, back to Proverbs 12, verse 18, the joys of live radio. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. So do you see that little rubbery thing inside of your mouth called a tongue is the most deadly weapon. You can cut people down like a sword with that tongue of yours. But you can also promote health. And to speak the right words at the right time is so important. And again, coming out of the right heart, that's what it's all about. So I love the book of Proverbs. As I say, it should be taught in the schools in Ireland instead of some of the other stuff they're trying to drive into the curriculum, which we're not getting into right now. But the Proverbs are powerful. And I believe we'd have a very different nation if people were living and speaking these Proverbs. They were used, of course, at the time of Solomon. It was a great time of fruitfulness in the land of Israel, and there was great peace in the land. And we look forward to the next bunch of peace that might come to that land. But these were sayings. You know, people were ploughing the field and they were speaking proverbs to one another. They're walking down the road, they're speaking proverbs one to another. It was just on their lips all of the time. And out of that came this great blessing that we know about. Saint Valentine. So his day is coming up very soon on the 14th of February. Well, who was this guy? He was a 3rd century Roman saint who is commemorated in Western Christianity on the 14th of February and in Eastern Orthodoxy on July the 6th. They always have to be different, don't they? and he's associated with the tradition of courtly love. And the story is, goes something like this, you know, that the emperor at the time in Rome, it was Claudius, the nasty Claudius guy. And he sort of, this military, people were not joining the army so much because they were getting married. So he kind of banned marriage. So, but this guy, Valentine, was secretly marrying people, eh? So that's what got him so famous. And that's why the tradition arose, I believe, years later, that people would express their love one towards another at the time. Now, of course, in most feasts, saints' feast days, they replaced some old pagan one, you know, and there was some kind of pagan thing floating around that same date, which got taken over. And that's a whole other debate about the mixture between the syncretism between Christian festivals and pagan festivals. It's enough paganism going on in this country. We're not going to talk about that here. We're going to talk about our creator God, the true God, not the one, not the idol sitting up on your shelf or all that sort of stuff. You know, it's something that's real. And I think Christianity has to be real because it's meaningless otherwise. And I know many people's experience of Christianity is a bit dead and a bit no good and a bit kind of, let's leave it behind. But, you know, think about this. There was a guy who lived called Jesus Christ. He did die on a cross. They did put him in a tomb. The tomb was empty a few days later. So now start asking questions. How did that come about? How was that tomb empty? This guy was clearly dead, killed by not some amateur killers, but professional killers. And they stuck that spear in his side to be sure he was dead, and blood and water came out, which is the very thing that happens to a heart when the person dies. And he was dead as dead can be. They took him down, they put him in that cold tomb. But he revived, not because he got a bit of fresh air and he wasn't really dead. That's what some people think. That's a load of rubbish. The truth is that he was dead for after 3 days, he rose from the dead. And the evidence is this. The evidence is, if the authorities stole the body, they would have produced it, put an end to the Christianity that they hated. If the disciples stole the body, they would not have died martyrs' deaths. They would have cracked, and one of them would have leaked this fabricated story that they made up. But no, the truth is that Jesus is truly risen from the dead. You know, and we're going to just look at a few scriptures on the theme of love, as you mentioned. And I'm going to start off in Psalm 91, in verse 14. And it says this. It says, because he has set his love upon me. That's speaking about the believer putting their love upon God. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. So it's talking about people deliberately putting their love on God, you know, and to love God is really what it's about. Obviously, to fear God, but to fear is the same thing, actually. It's a holy reverence for the one you love. And in Christianity, we talk about two things. We talk about the love of God, and we talk about the holiness of God. And it's very important to not forget either of these. And some people do get very stiff. They're firm on the holiness of God, but they're kind of difficult people to deal with because there's never a smile on their face and there's no joy in their lives. They're just hard people. And on the other hand, you get people who are floating around and everything is lovey-dovey and the love they talk about. But they've no fear of God and they're living a rebel life of sin and deception, you know, and deceiving others. And we see it in different churches. They have different flavors, and some are just extreme in that regard. They're extreme on the love and forgetting about the holiness, while others are forgetting about the love while they talk about holiness. But it's both. This is the thing. It's like God gave you a left side and a right side, you know, so that you'd be balanced. And so too, we need to be balanced between the love of God and the holiness of God, and not forget either. But because it's Valentine's Day coming up in a few days, we're talking today about the love of God. And we'll get to explain that in 1 minute. But I want to jump into another scripture. And this is one, I've read Psalm 91, and now we're going to move to 1 Corinthians 13. Now, most people don't go to church at all, except it's their friend is getting married, and they end up going to the wedding, of course, because it's their mate. And in the virtually always read this scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. But I just want to kind of drill into it a little bit. It talks about love. It says, though I speak with the tongues of of men and of angels, but do not of love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, one of the things I do is I play the drums. And one of the key things with a drum kit is to have a good set of cymbals, right? The very first kit I ever had, they were cheap cymbals. Honestly, they were like bad saucepan lids. They really were. And to be a clanging cymbal is not a pretty sound, you know. Now I've got nice Sabian cymbals. Zildjian, of course, are the best. But you get that lovely zing and that ting off the right cymbal. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. But a clanging cymbal, who wants to hear that thing, eh? And it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Well, this is impressive. And though I have all faith. Wow. So that I can remove mountains. My goodness. But have not love, I am nothing. Nothing at all. If you don't have love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. That's a good thing. And though I give my body to be burned. But have not love, it profits me nothing. Then it goes on and says, love suffers long. That means love has got great patience. And it's kind. And love does not envy and love does not parade itself. I love that word. It doesn't parade itself. And to love is truly to be other-centered. Not about you. It's not about your pride and how big and boastful you are. No, it's about the object of your love. Be it God or be it your spouse or whoever it is. You know, that's what it's about. Not to parade yourself. And it is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own, as I said. And it is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And that's a really interesting point. There's so many people, they celebrate sin. They just think, isn't it great? And they go, blah-de-blah. And I remember years ago, I was working in an office, and it was a good bunch of people, about 80 staff, you know. And after the weekend, Janie, my goodness, all the stories you'd hear and people boasting about how much drink they could hold down or how much stuff they could get involved with or this, that and the other. And they were rejoicing in iniquity. It's as simple as that. And but to rejoice in truth is really where it's at, according to the word of God. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. It hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. And so it goes on. This is 1 Corinthians 13. You can read it for yourself. It's great scripture to meditate upon. So I'm going to move into, wow, one of the most romantic books in the Bible, if not the most. It's the Song of Solomon. And this is, it's a great read. And in Song chapter 2, verse 4 says this, he brought me to his banqueting, to the banqueting table, and his banner over me was love. This is speaking about God bringing us to his feasting table, and he put a banner over us. And the banner didn't say, wretched sinner. And the banner didn't say, this guy's in trouble. This banner said, love. It's the love of God towards us. And this is such a wonderful picture. Of course, the Bible is so poetic, but this Song of Solomon is truly poetic. But look, lovely thing to say, the banner over me was love. So I'm going to look at another scripture, Matthew 5. We're jumping between the Old and the New Testament. It's all the Word of God, of course. And here we are in Matthew 5, verse 44. And so it says this, but I say to you, love your enemies. Did I read that right? I'll try it again. But I say to you, love your enemies. Oh, hold on a minute. I said, but you should love your neighbour, the Word of God says, and hate your enemy. But Jesus changed that. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Well, if you've lived more than 5 minutes on this planet, you realise that there are people out there who hate you. You realize there are some people out there who are your enemies. There are some out there who will spitefully use you and they will persecute you. And how are we to react? Well, Jesus said, love them and bless those who curse you. Now, one thing I've learned is if you take that attitude and somebody gives you a rough time and they're kind of after you or some bad way or, you know, they're just not treating you well, not fairly, not anything, just say it out of your lips. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. And you will be free from the burden of bitterness. And bitterness, of course, some people say it's like swallowing poison, expecting the other person to die. That's not very clever, is it? But bitterness affects you. But if you can walk free of that without the baggage of it all, you know, just bless those who curse you. And do it because Jesus encouraged you to do it. He says it here in Matthew chapter 5. So I'm going to move on again. Romans 13 verses 8 to 10, which says this. Says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Isn't that wild? You know, people, there's our Western society, our Western monetary system is based on debt. Okay, big mortgages, big debt, big everything. So people always throwing loans at you and everything, and then you're suddenly enslaved that way. But you know, it says here, owe no one anything except to love one another. It's a debt you will never pay. You'll never say, I'm finished, I've done enough loving, I'm sorted for the rest of my life. It doesn't work that way. You know, that we always have a debt of love to people. And remembering what Jesus said, love the enemies. So if you run out of people that you know and neighbors and all that stuff, there's the other crowd, the enemies to love. And that's what it's about. So I'm going to finish in John 3:16, the few minutes I have left. And John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. Wasn't that great? God loves everyone. Oh, we're all going to heaven. Well, now, hang on a minute. There's judgment. There's for sin. But it goes on to explain in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Wow, what did he give? What did he give us? I wonder. He gave us his beloved son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For, you know, I just, those words, it's, I gave that off the top of my head, but I'm actually going to find it in the scriptures here again, just to, because the next one is important too. For God so loved the world, verse 16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So as I say goodbye and God talk for this week, of course we're here next week, and please tune in then if you're free. And he sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And if God hasn't judged the world this day, it's because of his patience, his long suffering, his desire for people to be saved, to turn to him before it is too late. So if you haven't yet turned to Jesus, let today be the day. God bless you all, and thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to God Talk with Anthony Brabazon. Our 24/7 comment, prayer and text line is 087-979-5454. Until next week, may you seek him, may you find him, and may you love him.
This is Near FM
90.3.